Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Our conversation today will focus on an outlook for fixed income over the first half of 2021, including a look at sectors within the asset class that have further room to run. I am glad to be joined this morning by Leslie Falconio, Senior Fixed Income Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. So, Leslie, as always, it's great to be with you on the podcast. Thank you for joining us and looking forward to our conversation today.
Thanks, Chad. Good morning.
So, Leslie, perhaps we can begin by having you walk us through a bit of a performance outlook for the fixed income asset class, let's say over the next 6 months. Curious as to what the factors are that you believe will be driving total return during this period.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that we wrote in the strategist and emphasized is that a decade-long tailwind that we've had within the fixed income sectors that has been driven by declining interest rates. So as interest rates decline, obviously prices move higher, and that's contributed tremendously to your total return. When we look going forward, particularly given the low rates we saw in 2020, you know, that tailwind, you know, will probably shift to a bit of a headwind. So when we think about, you know, the asset allocation or fixed income as a whole within the U.S., you know, we number one have to manage our expectations about performance, right? You know, we're not going to see these, you know, end of 2019 double-digit performance or even some of the 2020, you know, high single-digit performance that we saw, given the fact that we have this rise in yields. So one of the things that we pointed out is that since spreads have, particularly in things like corporate credit, have compressed in the fourth quarter, led by better equity market, led by an increase in WTI and oil, you know, as interest rates rise, the spread compression won't be enough to counter that. And one of the things, Dan, just to point out, the first 2 weeks of this month, that is what has exactly occurred. So we often talk about things as such as excess return. An excess return is a return that an investor earns from the spread compression and the yield, the carry. So it takes out the interest rate risk. So what we've seen now in the first 2 weeks is that we have positive excess returns because the equity market has done well, the oil market has done well, high yield has done well, so spreads have compressed. But the total return is negative. And the reason why the total return is negative is because we've seen this large rise in interest rates from at the end of the year of 91 basis points moving to as high as 1.19% and now settling at 1.10% in 10-year yield. So the rise in yield is countering the spread compression. So that's one thing that we look at going forward. And that's what we think will be a trend going forward, which is really important to not only diversify the portfolio, but pay attention to where you are in the curve and pay attention to your interest rate risk.
Well, it is interesting to see what's already playing out. We're not even a month into the new year. So thank you for walking us through that, Leslie. I do want to point out to our listeners, as you cited, our conversation is revolving around the most recent fixed income strategist publication, a monthly piece. I know you run lead on that, title of which is Room to Run. So with that outlook in mind that you cited for us, Leslie, which fixed income sectors do you believe have further room to run?
Well, listen, we are looking at those sectors that didn't perform as well in 2020. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that they performed poorly, but they may have been, you know, adversely impacted by either declining yields or the COVID shutdown, maybe not have similar backing of the Fed, or even, you know, have some state concerns in terms of budgets. So one of the things that we believe Room to Run in 2021 are those sectors that are will benefit from rising interest rates, such as senior loans. Senior loans is one of our preferred allocations in the fixed income universe because, one, it's a floating rate asset. Two, it has seen, you know, defaults and that we project will be down to 3% and much higher recovery that we're getting in things like high yield. That's one of the bigger sectors that we've seen and that has room to run. The second part that is room to run are those selectively, those asset classes, say within commercial mortgage-backed securities, A-rated and higher, that may have been negatively impacted by sentiment or the environment in 2020 due to shutdown that we selectively think will have the ability to outperform. And because a lot of those asset classes as well didn't have this backstop from the Fed, like certain sectors of investment-grade corporates and high yield did, that they just automatically tightened from that perspective. So when we think about room to run and opportunistically allocating our sectors such as floating rate senior loans, and those areas within the economy that we feel will benefit as the economy recovers in the second half of the year, that and not only will benefit from the recovery, but don't have the same type of spread compression that we saw from other areas of corporate credit.
So, Leslie, as a follow-up, this jumped out at me as I was going through the piece. You highlight how you still prefer CMBS relative to high yield. Can you take a few moments to expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you look, and we pointed this out in the past couple of fixed income strategists, I mean, obviously, CMBS is cheap to high yield, right? And there's reasons why it is, and it should be. I mean, you know, high yield has recovered, you know, tremendously because of its correlation to equity market, because of the correlation to the energy market, which we've seen has outperformed tremendously since, you know, October, November of, you know, 2020. So the commercial real estate market has lagged that recovery. Now, when we say this in the CMBS side, it doesn't mean that you just go blindly into CMBS. You have to really ensure that, you know, we recommend A-rated and higher. You know, you'd want to pick your spots in terms of, you know, where the recovery could occur first. Like, for example, when the economy opens, you know, those service sector type of allocations, whether it's, you know, travel or hotel, will have a tendency to recover more than, say, retail. So that's one of the things that we look for. And for those individuals that could go on the more alternative investment side or the private credit side, you know, going to funds that have, you know, more of that triple B type weighting, you know, although they've recovered since the March low, they have a lot of room to run on the alternative side, you know, given our assumption that the economy reopens in the second half, that we see even more of a full recovery in 2022, given the fiscal stimulus and central bank accommodation. But that goes to those that go to the alternative side just have to recognize you have to have a longer term time horizon and you are giving up a little liquidity. But when it comes to what is room to run in terms of relative value, the commercial side obviously is much cheaper than the high yield side.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. And as I was going through the piece within the allocation table, I noticed how you shifted TIPS, Treasury Inflated Protected Securities, from most preferred to neutral. So can you spend a few moments walking us through the rationale behind that shift?
Yes, I mean, as we know, and anyone who's we've seen, particularly the first, you know, couple weeks of this year, as we have not only the December fiscal stimulus, but the additional fiscal stimulus, you know, as a result of the fairly shocking results in Georgia and this blue wave, you know, the outlook is, you know, what's going to happen to inflation. Now, the market has priced in inflation expectations now at about 2.1%, 2.12%. This is the high the inflation expectations have been since 2018. Now, it's not our view that, you know, inflation collapses. It's not our view that even inflation expectation sees a large contraction. But we do believe that the expectation has gotten a little bit too far in terms of what's actually being printed in inflation. So we do think inflation will, you know, continue its upward trend. We don't think it's going to be hyperinflation. But the TIPS market just really started pricing in, you know, a forward-looking sort of inflationary outcome a bit too quickly. And because we've had that position on and we actually added to it, you know, after March, you know, the total return on that sector has done incredibly well. For individuals that were just long TIPS outright, own TIPS security in 2020 had the benefit of declining interest rates and rising break-even inflation expectations to multi-year highs that we haven't seen since 2018. So the total return on that sector was in the double-digit category. We just feel that for the short term, and it's done what it's going to do, we would reset if it underperforms. But at this time, given what's priced in, we wanted to just put the profit and sort of look to reset at a different time.
Thank you, Leslie. So as we begin to close out our conversation, similar to how we started in terms of an outlook, looking ahead on a near to medium term basis, what are some risks, Leslie, that you believe fixed income investors really need to be mindful of?
But the biggest risk in terms of is a large rise in yields. And, you know, many times people view a large rise in yields with the assumption that there's growth in inflation. Now, because of the situation that we are in right now with quantitative easing and such central bank, you know, the FOMC accommodation, the risk is if they do something like, you know, what we call taper, I mean, pull back their monthly purchases a bit too early, and you have what we call this, you know, rise in interest rates. That would not benefit the fixed income spread product, it would not benefit equity markets, because if it happened today or in the next couple months, it would be occurring without the actual proof of a recovering economy. Now, everyone has forecasted and revised their expectation for GDP higher, given its additional fiscal stimulus, but we haven't seen it yet. So I think that is one of the biggest risks, would be the sharp rise in interest rates, which, by the way, we don't believe occurs. Okay, our view is that interest rates rise, will gradually rise to that maybe 130 to 135 mark, but a risk right now would be a large rise in interest rates by the Fed pulling back their monthly purchases sooner than they should. And as a result, mortgage rates go higher, financial conditions tighten, and therefore it's not beneficial to risk assets, whether you're on the equity or fixed income side.
Well, Leslie, as always, appreciate your time, and thank you for sharing with our clients and listeners your performance outlook for the asset class and how to think about positioning within, and look forward to resuming our conversation on fixed income next month.
Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Leslie. And again, today we have been joined by Leslie Falconio, Senior Fixed Income Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. As a reminder to our clients and listeners, the UBS Chief Investment Office authors a variety of publications and blogs that touch on timely market developments, asset classes, and portfolio allocation. These resources can be located on ubs.com/CIO. And that, of course, includes the publication that Leslie Falconio has been citing this morning, The Monthly Fixed Income Strategist. The title of the most recent piece is Room to Run. So for UBS clients, you can always contact your financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of that publication directly. Top of the Morning is part of the UBS Market Moves podcast channel, which is available where podcasts are found, including on iTunes and Spotify. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire podcast offering, as well as the new UBS Trending video series. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.